We begin the current daf, Maseches Chulin, daf Kuf Lamed Vav. Begin on the top line of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, Rava was saying, although we had explained for Rabbi Loi in his Machlegis with Rabbanan, that in regards to Reishas HaGez, the shearings of the wool, that a portion of that has to be given to the Kohanim, he says, you learn that from the same wording, which was the Gemara had a previous answer that you know Reishas HaGez from, that you're excluding a Shutfas of Akum, of a partnership of Akum, by comparing it to the first half of the Pasuk of Truma. Then the Gemara said, no, that actually you could even say that he doesn't compare it necessarily to the first half of the Pasuk, but that he learns out both of an exclusion of a partnership to be obligated in Reishas HaGez from with Akum, with a non-Jew, or even with a Jew, from the same word. It says Tzeinecha. So Tzeinecha says it has to be yours. If it's not yours because it's with a non-Jew, with a Jew, it's the same thing, and therefore they're both going to be excluded, unlike the Rabban who only excluded a partnership with a non-Jew. Now, in spite of that, Rabbi said, Rabbi Loi would agree in all the halachas that we're going through, which we mentioned in the previous daf and continue on this daf, that although there's an exclusionary terminology, which according to Rabbi Loi's logic should exclude a shutvis with an akum and the Yisrael, we find that there are other reasonings that telling us that actually it's not going to exclude a shutvis with the Yisrael, although possibly it will exclude a shutvis with an akum. As the Gemara says, Meiser, regarding the halacha of the tithe of one's grain, although it says a tithe of your grain, which sounds like dilach in the shutfas loy, only if it's only owned by you. But if it's a partnership, then there's actually no halachic obligation of meiser. And that says Rabbi no, it says your meiser in the plural. So even the Rabbi Loi would agree that a shutfas with the Yisrael would be obligated. So then why does it say the meiser of your grain, which seems to be saying only yours and not a partnership? That's excluding the more easily excluded category of a partnership with a non-Jew who is not obligated in the halacha at all. Then when there's a partnership with a Jew, then the Jew is going to be excluded. But Master Seichem, the plural, is coming to say that, but a shutvas with the Yisrael is going to be included. So to Matanis, the halacha of the Matnas Kuhuna, which was the topic of the previous parak regarding the Zeroy, L'chaim, and the Keva, when someone slaughters a regular chulin animal. Avagav the Chaz Rachman the Venasan, although the Torah says that you have to give it to the Kayin. Now, that word Venasan, Ikalamema, Yolof Nesina Nesina Marisha Sagez. You could have said, you learn like Zereshava. Here it says to give. Marisha Sagez it says to give. And Malahal in the Chutfas Loi, just like over there, which was the primary halacha we were explaining from Rabbi Loi, excludes a partnership even with Yisrael, there's no obligation. Afkan the Chutfas Loi also be here then with the Matnas Kuna, that also of the Israel Chem Keiva, that a partnership with Yisrael would not be obligated. Kasar Vachman, that's what Terah says, Ma'ez Zevche HaZevach. From those who slaughter the slaughtering, Zevche is in the plural, which sounds like even that there's two partners, that there is going to be a Chiev in the Matnas Kuna of the Zerayim and Lechayim Nekeva, and even there Rabbi Loi would agree. So, on that as to Gemara, wait. El time in the Kasar Rachmanim is Zevcha Zevcha. You tell me the reason why that you're saying that even a partnership would be obligated because it says in the plural Zevcha. Halavach, but if not for that, Havamina Leila from Reisha Zagez, you say I would have learned it out from Reisha Zagez that actually would be Pata from Meshutvis with Israel? Says the Gemara, Adra, but to the contrary. Neilif, we should learn the Gzereshav of Nesina Mitruma from Truma, which Truma also says to give, And therefore you wouldn't need a pasik because you can make a gezeirah shava like you're saying from Reish Lagez, or you can make it from Truma. And Reish Lagez would be leniency, and Truma is a stringency, and we know that whenever you have two to compare to, you go the stringent route. So why do I need a pasik? I already know from comparing the gezeirah shava to Truma that actually you are chayv. So as you go, Enechanami, you're right. You don't need this halach, this wording of me'ezev chazevach to include it in the obligation of partnership with the Matnas Kuna. Rather, me'izev chazevich la'amalis, and then why do I need that pasuk? Look at Rava, that's teaching a different halacha of Rava. Dam Rava, he says, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, hadinim atavach. We said in the previous parak that the halachic obligation of giving the matnas kuhuna, although it's owned by the owner, is on the butcher himself. Now, although we said that, but it says zevich in the plural, that's just the form, the style of the pasuk, but it's not coming to tell you that halacha of obligation of shutvis. Because again, that we know from comparing it Gzeir Shabbat to Truma, which is obligated in Shutfas. Rather, it's just coming to say that it's on the Zeveach, it's on the slaughterer, on the butcher, who the Chiv of the Matnas Kuhuna is. Continues Rava. Bikurim, regarding the first fruits of the Shevis Aminim that are brought up to Yerushalayim, given to the Kayin, Avagav Dechsev Artzecha, although it says in the Pasuk, Asher Tovim Artzecha, from that fruit which you bring from your land, which your land sounds like excluding, sounds like didach in the shutfas loy, only when it's yours, but not when it's owned by a partnership. Kasar Rachman, the bikuri kol asher, and the girsa is ba'artzam. The first fruits that are is in their land, which is plural. to say that even the Rabbi Loi would agree that a shutfis, what he saw, would be obligated bikur. But then the question is, so then what is the singular terminology of Artzacha Yulen coming to say? Says the Gemara, it's actually Lemuti Chutz La'Artz, coming to exclude from the Shibas Aminim, from the first fruits, out of Eretz Yisrael. It's only saying your land, Eretz Yisrael, but not other lands. Now, although seemingly the word Asheb Ba'artzam, their land, should also mean what's their land is Eretz Yisrael, why do you need Artzacha to say that? Because actually, that wouldn't be such an exclusionary terminology to exclude Chutz La'Artz. Because Artzam could be understood in their land, wherever they have land. But when it says Artzacha, your land is that which is distinct for you, the Jewish people, which that's to say the land of Eretz Yisrael and not the land of a non-Jew. Continues the Rava, says tzitzis. Although when it talks about the obligation of putting on tzitzis on the fork on the garment, it says your garment, which sounds like the dach in the shutfis loy, that as Rabbi Loi said, that should say, well, only if it's yours, but not if it's a sheared own garment. It says Rava Kasarachmana al kamve bigdei hem l'dayrei sam. It says in the corners of their garments for their generations, even if it's owned by more than one person, there is an obligation of tzitzis. But ve'el kasus cholamali. Then why do I need your garment to say? Says Gemara, look at Rabbi Huda, that he says talis sheula, a borrowed garment, which it's not yours because it's a partnership. It could be owned by one person, but it's not yours because you borrowed it. Peturim, and that tzitzis kol shleishim yom. That's exempt from tzitzis all those 30 days again because it's not kesuscha. It's not your garment. Maka, regarding the obligation of putting up a fence around someone's roof. Although the Torah says, for your roof, which sounds like didach in the shutfis loy, the obligation of makkah is only when it's owned by an individual, not when it's owned by partners. That the Torah says, when the one who falls from it will fall, which sounds like any roof that's possible that someone would fall on, even if it's a jointly owned apartment, that roof has an obligation. And the Rebbe Loi would agree that there's the chiv. So what does it come to say when it says your roof? So again, heroes is not coming to say yours versus a partnership. It's lemute bote kinesis abote midrashes, coming to exclude the shuls and the study halls, where there it's not any one person's, because it's even owned by essentially people from the world who have rights into that shul and the beis medrash. And moreover, it's also not a dwelling house. So it's not your roof, that's excluding that by the beis medrash and the beis knesses, that there is not that obligation. So that concludes the list of items that Rav said, Rabbi Loi would agree, although he generally says from Tzeinecha, which would exclude the not only Shutfas or Rakman Shutfas Yisrael, these items, he would agree according to Rava that there would be an obligation with a Shutfas of Yisrael. However, Amr Bibi Bar Abaye says, less Nulani Klali, that these categorical exceptions that Rava said, that he said Rabbi Loi would agree with these, it says it's not correct. Because, as he points out in one of the cases, we learned in the Braisa that Rabbi Loi disagrees by Bechaira, which is one of the cases Rav had said, and that he does not include the Shutfas of Yisrael from Bekarchem and Seinchem from the fact that it says in the plural. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Behemes HaShutfin, Chayeves BeBechaira, the Tanakhama says, an animal that's owned by partners is obligated in the halacha of the firstborn animal being given to the kain. But Rabbi Loi, Paitra, he says, no, you're exempt. So my time to beloi, because the chsev bekarcha v'tzaincha, because when it says in the singular. Now, not the question is, but v'chsev bekarcha v'tzaincha, which was the proof that Rav was saying, but it says another pasuk in the plural. So that's why he said Rebbe Loi would agree, but how do we understand this halacha? Rebbe Loi says you're exempt. And that says, because the kuli Yisrael, when it says your cattle, your flock, it's not coming to say that one animal is owned by many people. It's talking to the plurality of the Jewish people. But the obligation is only when it's bekarcha, tzaincha, when it's owned by an individual, and therefore we see not like the general categorical exceptions of Rava. Additionally, Omer of Chanina Misura, he also says, less nulani kalali, we don't agree to these categorical exceptions of Rava, because in addition to some of the other cases, like we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Loi exempts a shutfis from matanis, which is one of those we mentioned here on this amid. Tanlik learned the Braisa. Behemes HaShutfin, Chayeves BeMatanis. Tanakama says, an animal owned by partners is obligated in the matanis of Zroi L'chaim in the cave. But Rabbi Loi, Paitri, says, no, you're exempt. So too, my time, what's the reason? Because Yalef Nesina Nesina Mereshis Hagez. He learns out, Exer Shava, from Mereshis Hagez. Malaham the Shutfas Loi, as we established on the previous daf, Rabbi Loi holds that there's no obligation when it's owned by partners, even of Jews, to give Mereshis Hagez. Afkan, the Shutfas Loi, here also, by partnership, there's not going to be an obligation. Now, moreover, not only does he dispel that halacha of that case, but from the fact that he's pointing out Berbeloi that you're exempt of shutras by matanas, then obviously also you're exempt by truma. Because if you would think to say that by truma shutfas would be obligated, so then how would Rabbi Loi exempt by matanis of the Zerah Lechem Nekeiva? He should learn it out from a comparison from the obligation from truma. Because since you tell me he's learned that Gzeir Shava of Nesina of Nesina, then it would be more logical to learn that Gzeir Shava from truma, because like we said, if you could learn that Lekula to say you're exempt, or Lechurma, you have to go Lechurma. So Nelef Nesin and Nesin Mitruma. Then let him learn that Gzeir Shem Mitruma to say that you're Chayib. Elish Mamana. Rather, we can infer not only are we disproving from Rava that by the Matanis that one is exempt by Shutras, that even Mitruma Nami Paiter, that even by Truma, and Belay would hold that you're going to be exempt. And the reason is because he infers from the Pasuk when it says the Gancha has to be your grain and not that which is shared with a partnership with a non-Jew. Now, therefore, regarding the matanis of the Zerah Lechem Nekeiva, now yeah, he could learn either from Truma or from Rishas Hageiz, whichever Gzeir Shav Nesin Nesina, where either way, both of them are saying that you're exempt with Shutfas. However, the Gemara continues, and we're going to explain the way Rashi's Girsa is, that with the word laid in the next line regarding matanis, that he has the Girsa of Rishas Hageiz, where according to Rashi, this is going back to the previous daf, the Gemara is asking that since we said for Rabbi Loi that where does he know that there's an exception for Shutfas Akam? That you're actually learning out, the end of the Pasuk talks about Reishas Hageiz, in the beginning of the Pasuk, Tumat Truma. So he says, because you learn out the end of the Pasuk, Reishas Hageiz, from the beginning of the Pasuk, which is excluding the Shutfas of Akam. That's how you know that it's excluding Shutfas Akam by Reishas Hageiz. However, as the Gemara Bar'i, if that's the case, then Ma Truma, so if you're comparing the Aloha of Reishas Hageiz to Truma, then you should compare it for all elements. It's a hekesh. Okay, so you're learning out regarding b'mayit shutfas akum, but learn other things too. And you should say be'eretz in b'chutz la'aretz lo'i. So therefore, the halacha of reishas hageiz should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not out of Eretz Yisrael, like truma. So too, and our girsa is matanis, which if that was the girsa of the matnas kuna, then we're actually going back right here on the previous sugya, which was talking about the matnas kuna, which we had asked, oh, why are you comparing it to Reishas Hageiz, compared to Truma? And we said, yeah, Truma is exempt, and so too he holds Matanis are exempt. And he's actually learning it from Truma. So then the Gemara's question is, okay, so then learn that Matanis Kuna from Truma, that it should also be limited to Eretz Yisrael. And as we'll see, that the Gemara actually will prove both points. So either way, it's coming out the same way, but that's the question we're asking on the Reishas Hageiz. If you're learning it from Truma, we're learning it from Matanis Kuna of Zerem Lechem Keva, or we're learning it from Truma. But either one, Ba'aretzin b'chutz la'aretz lo'i should only apply in Eretz Yisrael and not out of Eretz Yisrael. Now the thing is, the Gemara in the first parak of Masechtas Kedushin of Lamavam Bei says that generally a mitzvah that's not tului ba'aretz, it's not agricultural, it applies, which is the halacha of the animal, the matanis or the reish lageiz, that applies in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael, because we learned from the laws of avodah zarah, which is also something that's dependent on a person, on a body, not on the land, and applies everywhere. In contrast, an obligation of the land only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So, but if you're learning it from Truma, then there should be only in Eretz Yisrael. On that, I'm Yusuf in the Harbel, which is the name of a place, he says, yes, most definitely, Vatanya, that's actually how we learned in the Braisa, that Rebeloi, I mean, he says, Matanis einoigin el ba'aretz. You're right, the halach of Matanis Kuna, and if that's the Girsa going back in the previous, or it's the next line that's going to say, according to Rashi's Girsa, that the chiv of Zerah Lechem Nekeiva only applies in Eretz Yisrael, like we compare it to Truma. And v'chein har Rebeloi, Eimer, reishas hageiz einoigin el ba'aretz. So that's the other halacha, that the halacha of the shearings of the wool, that matnas kuna, only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because yes, he learns out Nesin Nesina from Truma. So the Gemara is, my time under Beloi, so as we said, Amar Rabbi says, Yolav Nesin 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 Truma. You learn like Zerisha from Truma. Ma Truma ba'aretz in b'chutz la'aretz la'i. Just like Truma, the halacha only is, that's agricultural, applies only in Eretz Yisrael, not out of Eretz Yisrael. Afreisha sagez ba'aretz in b'chutz la'aretz la'i, so the Reisha gez only in Eretz Yisrael, not out of Eretz Yisrael. However, Amalei Abaya, the Gemara continues asking these questions. If you're learning out Reishas Hageiz or the Matanis, you're learning out from Truma, then it should have all those halachas, not just to be Ma'it Shutfas Akum, and or like the previous halacha that's only in Eretz Yisrael. So it says, if that's the case, so then Ma Truma Tevela is just like Truma. Makes the produce forbidden as Tevel, as untyped produce, until you went and took off truma. Like the pasuk says, Ashe Yirima, that you will take off the truma, which is referring to the future status that we already see the truma in here, and therefore it's forbidden as tevel until you actually do take it off. So if Rishon Lezion tevel, if you're comparing it to truma, then Rishon Lezion should also say that the rest of the wool is prohibited until you actually take off the Rishon Lezion. And Adam Alei said to him, no, Amakra, the pasuk says, Vereshes geiz sancha titanlai. The first of the shearings of the fleece of your sheep, you should give to him. Which that's telling us, the Kohen only has rights in this, only from the first and onward. Meaning, from when you separate it and you made a reshes, that first, that goes to the Kohen. But before you do anything, there is no designation over here of tevel, because the reshes of the in the pasuk is superfluous, and it's because it's going back on the reishis in the beginning. You could have just said v'geiz tzaincha. Why saying reishis? To come to tell you that no, only when you start, until you started, until you have that first gaze, then you don't have a tevel. Because it's saying only when you started, in contrast to truma, and therefore it doesn't have the problem of tevel. But the Gemara continues asking, but ma truma chayav maleh misa. But if we're comparing to truma, so just like truma, if someone deliberately, a non-kohen, went and ate the truma, he's liable for the death penalty, and v'chaymish, and if he did it by mistake, he's liable for a penalty of an additional fifth besides the principal. So Rishon Geiz should be the same way. Someone who deliberately goes and has benefit from it should be liable for the death penalty, and someone who does it by mistake should be liable for a fifth. And Adam Akra says no, because the pasuk says, by truma, it says, umesubai, regarding someone who does deliberately, he'll die through it, if he's a non-kain. And it says later on the pasuk, v'yasav, and will be increased, a love on him, that penalty of the fifth. Which teaches a love on it, on truma. That's where you have the penalty of the fifth. And that's the exclusionary terminology below Rishas HaGez. And when it says by, through it you'll have a death penalty, is exclusionary below Rishas HaGez. But the Gemara continues asking, there's many different halachas by truma that we want to say, okay, compared to Rishas HaGez. But then say, if ma truma, Rishon v'sheni acharav, after truma is separated, you have Maaser Rishon, you have Maaser Sheni. So after Rishon v'sheni, so to be Rishon v'sheni, Rishon v'sheni acharav, you should have another first taif, and then the second one that should be taken off from the fleece. And Adam Akra says, no, the pasuk says Rishon. In l'chopa eli Rishon b'lvad, there's only the first, and that's it. There's no other matonist that have to be separated from the fleece, from the fact that it doesn't say Megeis Seincha, from the fleece of your sheep. Obviously, no, there's only the reishis, and that's it, and there's nothing more. But the Gemara continues asking, Ima truma mechadash al yashan loy, if, just like by truma, that one cannot separate truma from the new grain on the old grain, because it says in Devarim, Yadal hayitza sada shana shana, every year has to be separated individually. Saf reishis ageiz mechadash al yashan loy, so then so too by reishis ageiz, should only be from the new ones, and it can't be on the old ones. Says the Gemara, yes, and we'll prove it to you, because we're talking about the braisa. Right, it says, if someone only had two sheep, and Gazas, and in this year he was shearing the wool, v'inich, and then he left it. Then Gazas, the second year again, he was shearing their wool, v'inich, and he left it. And he did this for shnayim b'shleishah, and he did it for 2-3 years, until he had the amount of shearings of 5 shearings of wool. Says the Braisa Eimet Tarfus, then they don't combine, because the Torah is particular that you have to have the shearings of five sheep. And this person only has 2 sheep. So therefore they don't combine into the obligation now that you have 5 shearings to give the matnas kunam. But hachamish mitzarfis, but it sounds like if he had 5 sheep, then the shearings of the 2 that he did in this year and the 3 that he did in the second year, that then they would combine. Because now he has the shearings of 5 sheep that's going to combine, even though that one is from 1 year and one is from the previous year, which is chadash aliyashim. Now the difficulty is, but Vatanya will in another braisa that says that even if he has 5 sheep aimed starfish that they don't combine, so that's a contradiction. Says the Gemara, Elish Mamina, rather we could infer and prove that because this is also included in the dispute of Rabbi Loi and the Rabbanan. Ha, the Rabbi Loi, the second braisa is Rabbi Loi that according to him, like we said, he compares the gaze to Truma, so therefore it doesn't combine, just like Truma we said, Chadash Aliyasim doesn't combine. But ha, the Rabbanan, the first braisa, like the Rabbanan, says it does combine. And therefore, that's another proof that, yeah, he does compare it to Truma. And all these questions are in Rabbi Loi's opinion that we're saying he compares it to Truma. We're saying, well, then it should be compared for all these halachas. So the Gemara continues asking. So, Ima Truma, so again, if we're comparing to Truma, then, for example, we're talking about a case here where a Jew buys a field from a non-Jew, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. So the halacha by Truma is that Gadol B'chiyev, whatever grew in a state of obligation, meaning whatever grew after the Jew had already bought that field, so Chayiv, that's obligated in Truma. Gadol b'ptur, whatever grew in an exempted state, because that was when the non-Jew still owned it, then the Jew is exempt from giving trumas on that part of the grain. Now, if that's the halacha by truma, then afreishas ageiz nami, the halacha should be similarly by the shearings of the wool. You should say, when a Jew buys an animal from a non-Jew, you should say, Gadol b'chiyev chayev, whatever grew when the Jew already owned it, that's obligated. But b'ptur, potter, whatever grew when the non-Jew had owned it, for that is exempt. As the Gemara explains, how do we know this halacha by truma first? It's because they're talking like we learned in the Brisa as we explained the case. Yisrael shalakach sadeh b'Surya ma'ovid kachav. If a Jew bought a field from a non-Jew, specifically in Surya. Surya is what's known as Aram Tzeva, Syria, these types of areas that David HaMelech had conquered, but it wasn't considered halachically like a full-fledged conquering to make it into the full sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, and has a more lenient sanctity. Which, therefore, over there is an acquisition for a non-Jew to be considered like an owner in the land to preclude it from the halachas of Trumas and Maises. So, therefore, says the Braisa, that actually, if the Jew bought the field from the non-Jew, it had not even grown yet a third of the produce, so then everyone's going to agree that Chayiv, since most of that, and the majority of it grew in the hands of the Jew, he's going to be obligated in the halachas of Trumas. But Meshaviyashlish, let's say the field had already grown a third and only then the Jew bought it. So Rabbi Kiva Mechayiv B'Tesefes. Rabbi Kiva says that the Jew is only going to be obligated to give the Maestras only on the increase that grew in the Jew's possession, which was the remaining two thirds. Which there you have Tevel and Chulun mixed together because you have the untithe, which is the Jew's name, the Chulun from before the third that was owned by the non-Jew. Because this halacha is only in Surya, because in Eretz Yisrael, actually the Jew would actually have an obligation of taking maestras on everything, because in Eretz Yisrael there is no acquisition for a non-Jew to preclude it from the halachas of maestras. But here is in Surya, where he could preclude it, but again, you only have to give trumas and maestras for what grew in the Jew's possession, not by the non-Jew. Now, the Chacham Patrim, actually the sages say that he's going to be totally exempt, because since it already grew a third in the possession of the non-Jew, it's as if it was already totally concluded and already grown by the possession of the non-Jew, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and Daf Yud Beis and Daf Yud Gimel, that grain goes after a third. If it's a third, it's already considered like it's grown. But one thing you see is that the primary halacha is that we consider what was grown by the non-Jew is not an obligation for the Jew, but what was grown by the Jew is. And therefore we should learn out Reishis Hageiz from there too. And says the Gemara, v'chitei mahachaname, if you're going to say that that's actually the case by Reishis Hageiz, that whatever grew by the non-Jew of the fleece is exempt from Reishis Hageiz, even after it subsequently came to the Jew, but what's not, we're learning our Mishnah, not like that. The Mishnah says, halikeach geiz tzoyin evikachavim, if someone purchases the shearings of the wool of the non-Jew's animal, before it was even shorn, patim Reishis Hageiz. So our Mishnah said that he's exempt from Reishis Hageiz. Why? What I mean, that fleece is owned by the Jew, is because the Torah says you have to give of tzaynecha of your sheep. It doesn't say gizasecha of your fleece. And here the sheep is not the Jews. It's owned by the non-Jew. But the inference is, hatzaynoi ligzais, if let's say the Jew would have bought the actual flock of the non-Jew before the fleece was shorn. Then, since everything is owned by the Jew, because then you call it tzaynecha, then Chayiv, then he would have been obligated, even though all that fleece that's about to be shorn all grew by the non-Jew, and still we see that you're going to be Chayiv. Why? If according to Rabbi Lo, you're learning a Reishis Hageiz from Truma, you should say whatever grew by the non-Jew, just like by Truma, is actually exempt. Says the Gemara, you're right, Masnit, our Mishnah is to continue to invade, is the like Rabbi Lo. It's not like Rabbi Lo. He compares Reishis Hageiz to Truma, the Tanavim Mishnah doesn't. And therefore, although by Truma you're Potter, but by Reishis Hageiz, as we saw the inference from our Mishnah, was that you would actually be Chayiv. So the Gemara continues asking Rabbi Lo. So if we're comparing Reishis Hageiz to Truma, so just like with Truma, that when it's from one species on something that's not its own same species, for example, even though it's one type of fruit, but let's say one's black and one's white, the halacha is loy, that you can't separate Truma from one on the other. So then by Reishis Hageiz, you should also say, when it's not exactly the same type, when they're two different species, you shouldn't be able to go ahead and give the matanis of the fleece of the other type. As the Gemara explains, how do we know this halacha is by Truma? The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Someone had two types of figs, meaning they're figs, but one's black and one's white type. Or so to say two types of wheat, that one is black, one's white. Says the Tanakh, we don't go ahead and take Trumas and Maises from this type on that type. And the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar, He says it's a machleki. He says b'shame imrim ein termim, like the Tanakhama, you can't not take truma. But b'sila imrim termim, b'sila says you could take trumas because it's still all one type. They're all fixed. Now, subsequently, the Tanakhama disputes Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says no, b'sila does not disagree with this, and b'sila agrees that it's two different types of species. So essentially, that's how the halacha is like the Tanakhama, even the b'sila. That is that we consider it as two different types, and you cannot separate truma. So then, afreishes I guess, and then so two afreishes I guess. You should say mimin alshein mimin eloi. That when it's even if they're both sheep, but one's let's say black and one's white, you shouldn't be able to separate from one on the other. Says the Gemara, in yes, but none. As we learned in our Mishnah says hoy lebeis minim if the seller had two different types of sheep. Shchufis ulavanis, levanis are white. Shchufis is like this mixture of black and white. And it says machaloi if one Yisrael sold to another Yisrael. Shchufis abaloi levanis, those mixed ones, but not the white ones. So then the Mishnah said, Zen leisin la'atzmai, but Zen leisin la'atzmai. Each one, the seller and the buyer, have to give individually on the type that they have. Why? Since the seller did not retain any of that type for himself, so he has no obligation to go ahead and separate those that he sold. Now, although that actually he didn't sell the sheep, he was only the wool, it still would be incumbent upon the buyer to separate it because he took the matnas kahuna, which is in the shearing to the wool. But one thing we see is that obviously we consider them as two distinct types. And yet you cannot separate from one on the other because if you would say that you could separate from one type on the other if they're different colors, so then that would be considered that there's still some left over by the seller because you're considering it as one type. And our Mishnah taught when someone buys the shearings of the wool of his friend, if he left over something, it's only the seller that's obligated, not the buyer. So therefore, yeah, you see from our Mishnah that, yeah, we actually do compare gaze, sinai, to truma, that if it's two different colors, then actually you can't separate one on the other. But then the Gemara disproves this as a good answer for Rabbi Loi, because El Miata, if that's the interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah, then Sefer Diktani, look at the next case of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if let's say he sold him zarchar mavalein nekevis, the wool of a male, the animals, but not the females. Said the Mishnah, here too, the seller has only the females and the buyer has all the males. Each one has to give individually. Are you going to say, hachinami mishum de trei minin in here? You're going to also say, because, oh, they're two different species and therefore nothing of that species was left over by the seller? Male and female doesn't make a different species. Rather, obviously, it is considered like that same species was still left over by the seller. And you're right. The halacha is that the obligation would only be on the seller. So then why does the Mishnah say, zen leis l'atzmai v'zen leis l'atzmai? Says the Gemara, eitzet teve kamash b'lam. The Tana of the Mishnah is giving good counsel for the seller that he shouldn't give all the rachis agiz from only the animals that he has left over from the females, and he should give, which has to give also from the shearings of that of the males that he had sold, because the male wool is hard. That's lesser quality. The females that he has is softer. So therefore the Tana of the Mishnah is saying, buy back some of the wool from the consumer, the amount of rachis agiz of the males that you have to give from the male wool. That he should then give a combination of the soft wool of the females that he has and of the hard wool from the males that he sold. But not that because it's saying there's an obligation on the buyer. You're right, the obligation is only on the seller. So therefore says the Gemara Hachinam here also in the first case, by Shchufas and Levanis, it's also because Eitzet Teve Kamash Malan. It's just giving good counsel for the seller because the white shearings are better quality than the Shchufas, which are this mixed type of a color. And it's just saying, of course there's no obligation on the buyer. It's not considered two different minim. Just, he's telling him, buy back from the consumer the amount of the shchufis, the lace of luhu that he should give to the kayim, mitarvayi from both of them, from the shchufis and levanis. So therefore, back to the question. We don't see from our Mishnah that by rishas agez is the same thing as truma, that when it's two different minim that you cannot separate mimin al shein minay. Because we're not saying that there's obligation on lekech. As we explained, it's only on the meicher. It's just that we're saying he should get back from some of this and then he'll have some of his own. So back to the question. So where do we find for Rabbi Loi this halacha of rishas agez? To the contrary, in our Mishnah, we don't see that. It says the Gemara, ha'kim de lemastin de loikir b'loi. We already said that. Our Mishnah is not like b'loi and therefore it's not difficult. You're right, our Mishnah is explicitly not saying that. But that's not difficult because our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Loi. Our Mishnah does not compare Gez la Truma. Rabbi Loi, who does, actually would hold that, yeah, you would not be able to separate Mimin al Shein Mimin. But the Gemara continues asking, Ima Truma be in a Rashis, another halacha regarding Truma. If we're comparing it to Truma, just like by Truma, we need it to be the first which means that there are others, shashiyireu nikaren, that the remnants should be recognizable, meaning if, let's say, someone says, I want my whole granary to be truma, he hasn't said anything, you can't. Truma has to be the first, which connotes that there's others that are not truma. So then, afreshes against the sharing the current. So then, risha gesh should also be like, you can't give all the sharing to the wool. It has to be something that the remnants are recognizable. So the gemara in, yes, that's how Rabbi Loi would hold. But it's not, and so to learn the Mishnah Masechet Eschala. Why? Because the Mishnah says, ha'imer kol garni truma. Someone says, my whole granary should be truma, or v'chali sasi chala, my whole dough that I'm making should be chala for the matnas kuna. Says the Mishnah Loi maklum. He hasn't said anything. It has to be a part of it, not the whole thing. Now, the inference of this Mishnah is, Hokol Gizya Rishis. Let's say it doesn't say this halacha, but so the inference is, if let's say he says, I want all my shearings to be the Rishis going to the Kohen, that sounds like a with a Devar of Kayam, and then his words would stand, because it doesn't say that example, only talks about Chala and Truma. Yet, Vatanya declared another place that says, Loi Maklumi, he hasn't said anything. Says the Gemara, Lav Shema Mino, rather we can infer, because that's the same achlekes we're talking about. Ha, Rabbi Loi, the second, the Brisa, is Rabbi Loi, who holds, yeah, he hasn't said anything, because we compare Rishis Agez to Truma. Just like by Truma we said, it has to have Shear in the Karan, so too for Rishis Agez. V'ha Rabbanan, but the Mishnah Chal is like Rabbanan, Shemamina. So again, it's still following the theme that we're saying. So that's where the Gemara concludes and says, yeah, that's how Rabbi Loi knows Rishis Agez, the Matnas Kuno, he knows it from Truma, and therefore, yeah, it's going to have the Halachas of Truma, except for exceptions that we pointed out, that there it's explicitly not going to have the Halachas of Truma. Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, he says, Ha'idna noig alma kani tlasavi. Now, the custom of the world is like these three elders, which are specific leniencies, which one of them relates to a halacha that we were talking about before. First one is Kirib Eloi Bereshit Agez. Like Rabbi Eloi, regarding the halachas of Reshit Agez, which the time like learned the Bereshit Eloi, he says, Reshit Agez in a noig ele ba'aretz. He said that the halacha of the sharings of the world that has to go to Kohen is only in Eretz Yisrael, and so too for the Matnas Kuna, because we compare it to Truma. And one of the things we compared it to Truma was just like Truma is only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, not like the Tana of our Mishnah. Tana of Mishnah says, Neg Ba'aretz and B'Chutz La'aretz, that it's like the custom now is like a B'Loi, that it's only in Eretz Yisrael. The second one is Krib Yehud Ben B'Seir B'Divri Torah, regarding the learning Torah. Because the time learning the B'Reis, Yehud Ben B'Seir B'Divri Torah, he says, In Divri Torah Mekalbim Tuma, the words of Torah do not receive impurity. Which just relates back to a Gemara Masechtas Brachas that says that a Baal Keri, someone with a seminal mission, requires to immersion before he learns the words of Torah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Seir says, that no, he does not need immersion, he doesn't have to immerse himself in the mikveh before he learns Torah, because he learns it from a pasuk that says, Halei kai dvar ke'esh nam Hashem. Hashem says, my words of Torah are like fire. Just like fire does not receive tumma, so to the words of Torah don't receive tumma, and the person that has tumas keri can still learn the words of Torah, and that's the minhag ha'olam. And third of all, Krib Yehuda Ben-Seir, the custom is a leniency like Rabbi Yehuda regarding forbidden plantation mixtures, to turn like Linda Breisa. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Lo ilam in chayim, a person is not going to be liable for the prohibition of klai hakerem, of forbidden mixture of planting in the vineyard, at sheyizr chita visa'ira vichartzim b'mepeles yad. He's only liable if he's planting at one shot, with one throw of the hand, wheat, barley, and a grape seed. As the Gemara in Isaiah v'Zbenai said that, it says that if one plants climb, he's going to be liable. We said that's not like Rabbi Yishe, because he says, no, if you do just a grape seed and wheat, he says, you're not going to be chayv, it has to be the grape seed, the wheat kernel, and the barley. Now, the Mishnah had said, chayme bezroye v'chulu. The Mishnah had compared the previous Perek Halacha and our Perek Halacha, which, as we explained in the Mishnah, there are certain stringencies that Zroye l'chayme keiv apply. Even by one animal, there was a certain halachas that are more stringent versus the halacha of Rishis Hagetz. Now, the Gemara asks, okay, that definitely is true, but why didn't it say the flip side too? V'lisni chayme b'reishas agez, it should have said, but there's a stringency of reishas agez versus the matnas kuna of Israel chayme keva, shenoyig b'treifas, because when someone, it could be a treifa animal, but when he's doing the shearings of the wool, that's obligated to give to the kain. Masha'enkin b'matanas, which is not applied by the matanas, because a treifa animal is not obligated to give the Israel chayme keva, because the pasuk says that he has to give it to the kain, which means Titnu, he has to give it to him, or Vinasan, which is to give it to the kain, and not to his dog, which it's treif, he can't eat it. So that's a stringency that applies by the halach of Rish Agez. And then Ravina says, no, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah? It's Reb Shimon. The town of the Breitza, actually Reb Shimon Paita, it's a treif, it's Rish Agez. It's not a stringency that Rish Agez has, because he holds that Rish Agez is also exempt by treif, just like the Zroy Lechem in the cave. Says the Gemara, my time of Reb Shimon, why does he hold that it's exempt? Because Yalef Nesin, Nesin, the Mimatonis. He learns that Gzer Shavah from the Matnas Kahuna. Ma matanas treifale, just like we just pointed out before, by matanas kahuna, the zroel chemikeva, that's not obligated by a treifa animal. So afresh, it's a case, not me treifale, they both say to give. Here also it says giving, it does not apply by a treifa animal. But that is the Gemara, but the e yalef, but if the Tana of our Mishnah learns out nesina, nesina mematana, he's learning out this gezeirah shava of giving from the halacha matnas kahuna, because we just pointed out that we're saying the Tana of Mishnah is like Reb Shimon, then leilif nesina, nesina mitruma. Then he should learn out this gezeirah shava of giving from the halacha of truma, which also says about giving. And then you should say, ma truma ba'aretz in mechutz la'aretz lai, just like truma only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not out of Eretz Yisrael, the nafreishas against nami beretz in mechutz la'aretz lai, then you should say also, because you say whenever you can make a gzeirah shava l'chumra, you make it l'chumra, and you're saying you make this gzeirah shava of giving, like you learn it from matanas, so learn that the same gzeirah shava from truma, and say that reishas against also should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, not of Eretz Yisrael. Now, so although this works well, why we didn't say stringency of treva over the matnas kuna, but alam etzinam, but then why do we learn in our Mishnah, reishas ageiz naig ba'aretz ubechutz la'aretz, that applies in Eretz Yisrael and out of Eretz Yisrael, but why? If this is a Tana, which we said is Reb Shimon, who learns out the gezeirah shava of nesina nesina, which from a Tana is pesot yishalana from Truma, then it should be limited to Eretz Yisrael and not to chutz la'aretz. Sa'ala rather says the Gemara, you're right, hayin tam and Reb Shimon, the reason of Reb Shimon, that it precludes the halacha of reishas ageiz from treifa too, so therefore that's not a stringency over matnas kuna, it's not because he learns the gezeirah shava of nesina nesina. Because then, just like you learn that from the matanas, so you should learn that from truma, which would then be the problem of then why is reishas ageiz in chutz la'aretz. Rather, it's the yalef tzayin tzayin mimaisa. It's a different gzeirah shava with a different word, which you don't have to compare to truma, which is it says the word tzayin over here by reishas ageiz, and it says tzayin by the laws of meiser, by the meiser behemo called meiser bakar b'tzayin. There it also says tzayin, and we say ma meiser just like the laws of the tithing of one's animals, which one out of every 10 animals he has to have halacha ma'isa behema, is trefalai, does not apply by an animal that has a mortal defect. Afresha zagez, trefalai. So too, the resha zagez does not apply by trefa. Now, says the Gemara of Hasmanon, how do we know that, why would ma'isa behema not apply to an animal that's a trefa? It's because the chsiv, it says the pasuk in the yikra, it says, kalasha yavar tachas hashev, it says, any animal that will go under the stick, which is because they let it go through a corral and a narrow opening, and the tenth animal, they make it with a red dye to say that's the Ma'isa Behemah, that's the one that has the sanctity of Ma'isa Behemah. But it says, whatever goes beneath the stick, prat le trefa sheneveres, that precludes a trefa, an animal in oral defect, that can't go through, not because all trefas, because one of the trefas that cannot go under the stick, for example, let's say its knee got, its leg got cut higher up than its knee, which then it can't walk under that thing. Now, from there we learn all other trefas to that type of trefa, that it cannot be averis, therefore the halachas of ma'isa behemah would not apply to it, and therefore we learn now, tzayin tzayin, the reish ageiz, that also does not apply to a trefa. But on that is the Gemara, v'leilav tzayin tzayin mebuchar. But why learn out the gzeir shabbat? Okay, we're not asking from truma anymore, but why learn out tzayin tzayin from ma'isa? Learn out the gzeir shabbat, the word tzayin, from the laws of buchar, of the firstborn animal. And there you could say, Mabuchar afila trefa, just like the firstborn does apply even if it's a trefa, because a Bukhar gets sanctified even if it has a mortal defect. And okay, then you would have to bury it, because it becomes automatically sanctified from the womb. So it applies whatever state it's in. So afreshes the gaze afila trefa, then you're back to the question. And reshes the gaze also should be by trefa, and therefore that should be mentioned in our Mishnah as a stringency over the Zroel Lechem Nekeva. Says the Gemara, no. Mistabra mimaisa havleila melef. It's more logical. Yes, we'll learn out this gezeirah shava from the word tzayin, to learn it out from meiser, which precludes it from treva, and not to learn it from bukhar, which would obligate it even as a treva. Why? Shekin, because you have all these different commonalities between the laws of reishas ageiz and meiser, which are not the case by bukhar. What are these things? So, first of all, zachar. Meiser behema and reishas ageiz does not have to be male. Temeyan, they don't apply to non-kosher animals. And contrast to Bukhar, which is only by male, and it even applies by non-kosher animal, which the Bukhar is even by the Chamar, by the donkey. So too, Bimarubin. Meiser and Reishas Ageiz are only by a plural of animals. Meiser needs at least 10, and Reishas Ageiz, as we said in the Mishnah, requires 5. And Meirechem, they're not sanctified from the womb, these two of Meiser and Reishas Ageiz. And Adam, they don't apply, there's no reishas ageiz and meiser applying by humans. In contrast, the laws of Bechayr applies even by a singular animal, and it's automatically sanctified from the womb, and it even applies by a person. There's halacha of Bechayr by the firstborn son. So to Pashat, the halacha of meiser and geiz only apply by a simple child, meaning in contrast to the Bukhar, and Lefnei HaDibur, their halachas did not apply before the Torah was given at Har Sinai, in contrast to Bukhairis, which are the firstborn, not by Pshutin, and they were sanctified already in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, before the Torah was given. So because of all these commonalities, therefore it's more logical to learn from Meiser and not from Bukhar. To which the Gemara says, no, Adrab, it's to the contrary. Mebuchar have a little melef. It's actually more logical to have learned it out from the laws of the firstborn animal, Shekain, because over there you have all these similarities between the Rishas Hagayis and the Bukhar, in contrast to Meiser Behema. First one is Yasim, which is Bukhar and Rishas Hagayis apply even to an animal that was orphaned, meaning even though its mother died when it was born, where this one went to life and this one went to death, that you would still have the halacha of obligation of Bechor and Reish Tzegez. In contrast, the halachas of Ma'aser Behemah would not apply to it, because we learn like Gzeir Shavah Tachas Tachas from Kachim, where by Kachim it says it has to be Tachas Ima, its mother has to be alive, which excludes if it was orphaned. In contrast, a Bechor is automatically sanctified even though it's orphaned, which could then degrade it till it develops a blemish and is eaten in its blemish state by a Kain, but that and Reish Tzegez would apply to it even though it's orphaned. Shalakhai, so too the Bechor or the Reish Tzegez applies even if this animal was bought, and Beshutfas even if it's owned in the partnership. In contrast, Meiser is exempt if it was bought, and also if it was a partnership, because like the Gemara in Bechor Yisrael Nenvovim Beis says, Yi Lecha should be for you and not with the end of a partnership. And so too Nasnai. Also, if it was given by a gift, the Gemara in Bechor Yisrael Nenvovim Beis says that would not apply by Meiser, in contrast to Bechor and Reish Tzegez. Moreover, Bifnei, Bechor and Reish Tzegez apply even Bifnei, even if it's not Bifnei HaBayis, even if the Beis HaMikdash is not around. In contrast, Ma'aser Behemah is not applicable if the Beis HaMikdash is not around, as the Gemara in Bechor explains in the last parak on the Gimel Menalth. And Kohen, Bechor and Reish Tzegez are from the Matnas Kehuna. In contrast, Ma'aser, which is actually eaten by the owner as a Karban Shlamim, so it's not a Matnas Kehuna. Moreover, as a contained type of Kavlam Zayin Menalth, Bikadusha, a firstborn animal does not need to be sanctified because it's automatically sanctified from the womb. So the Reish Tzegez does not need to be sanctified because actually there is no sanctity on the Reish Tzegez. In contrast, Ma'aser Behemah needs to be sanctified by being going underneath that stick as the tenth animal. Or another interpretation some want to say is that, what does it mean by Kedusha? It means that the Bechor and Reish Tzegez are properties owned by the Kohen. They could even be Makadish Aisha. He could betroth a woman. As the Gemara says in Baba Kama Gimel Manav, that the Bechor, you could sell it unblemished alive or blemished alive, slaughtered, and he could sanctify a woman because it's his property. But Ma'aser is not the owner's property to go ahead and engage a woman with it, because it says Lo Yimach V'Lo Yigal. It doesn't own it. Rashi doesn't like that interpretation, because even so, it is owned by the person, and he could engage a woman, as the Mishnah says, Kedushin and Beis Mabez, that someone is Mekadosh with the portion that he has, which is Ma'aser Behemah, whether Kachim Kalim. The Gemara says, after it's slaughtered, it's not his, because he only got it from Hashem. But when it's still alive, it's his. So rather, it says the interpretation like we first said, regarding the requirement of sanctification, that only applies by Ma'aser Behemah. And the Mechira. A firstborn animal, the Kohen could sell, and so to the Reish Tzegez he could sell. But Ma'aser Behemah he can't sell, as the Mishnah says in Mechayrus, Avlam and Bezim and Aleph, by Ma'aser says Lo Yigayil, which is that he can't sell it, not when it's alive, and not when it's slaughtered, unless if it's owned by orphans. So says the Gemara, so the Hanach, and these that Reish Tzegez has in common with the Bechor, is Nefishin, is more than that which Reish Tzegez has in common with Ma'aser Behemah. So then you should learn that from Bechor, and therefore you're back to the question, you should say that it's comparable to Bechor, which is obligated by Trefa, and therefore then Reish Tzegez should have that as astringency over Zerei Lechem Akeva, and that should be mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara, no, because Pashit, something that applies to a regular animal, by Reish Tzegez, Mi Pashit from another regular animal, which is by Ma'aser Behemah, is Adiflei, is more preferable to learn out, even though there's more similarities to the Halachas of Bechor, but Bechor is a firstborn animal, it's an own unique category, and therefore we'd rather learn out from that of Ma'aser Behemah, and therefore that's why we say it does not apply by Trefa, just like by Ma'aser Behemah doesn't apply by Trefa, and again, therefore that's not a stringency that Reish Tzegez had over Zerei Lechem Akeva, and that's why we didn't say that in the Mishnah, only said the stringency that the Matanis, that Zerei Lechem Akeva have over that of the Reish Tzegez.